The last item before lunch, number 9, auction tags and landowner hunting permits, briefing public hearing, and we do have some public input. Okay. And
I'm going to start, yeah.
Mick, you're going to take over. Okay.
I'll start. Are you going to go first?
No, you're
up. Okay. I'll start this and then we'll hand it over to Mick.
Okay.
So once again, Rich Harris, special species, and many of them are relevant to the auction raffle, so I'll give this presentation, although I'm going to begin with one that is not one that I manage directly, but I will talk about this briefly, and that is we are proposing to add one type of auction to our list of auctions this year. We already have a 3-deer raffle. And this would essentially be the same rules and regulations. It would simply be an auction version of that. So the idea is we've got 3 different species of deer in Washington. Presumably this, whoever wins this is going to go on a road trip and go from eastern Washington to western Washington or vice versa. One of each of the 3 kinds would be valid from the beginning of September to the end of December, as the raffle one is, any legal weapon. And there are certain areas that are closed to deer hunting that would also be closed to this auction hunt. So pretty straightforward, nothing terribly new in the regulations, just simply adding an auction to a raffle that we already have. We are suggesting one small tweak to the raffle that we offer for the Rocky Mountain type of bighorn sheep. Recall again that we consider that we have 2 types of bighorn sheep in the state. Along the Cascades, we're calling those California bighorns, and the eastern portion of the state has what are called Rocky Mountains. So I put those in quotes because the scientific validity of those is in question, but regardless is accepted in the hunting community, so we don't mix and match those 2 types. So the Rocky Mountain raffle permit, which has been operated for a number of years quite successfully on our behalf by the Washington chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation, that has been in the southeastern portion of the state and also in Hall Mountain. A Soton herd that Jay knows really well, that's been a focus of this hunt. That has actually gotten disease, but population is doing okay, but we've had an issue in the last year or two with excessive number of rams taken. We have some tribal harvest issues that we're dealing with there, so we're kind of down in rams, to the point where we really kind of need to hold on to the rams we've got. So we have to remove that from the auction, from this particular raffle this year. Hopefully that will be a temporary switch. And so that would leave, sure, go ahead.
There again, right across the river in Idaho. Very, very coveted unit. And that's what Idaho has done on that is every other year.
I can more than see your reason because of the disease factor. At least this year we got some lambs down there, had a really good crop of lambs this year.
Yep.
The only thing of it is those old mature rams, you can't be whacking on them every year, but every other year, because there again, it becomes a wasted resource after a while just to let them die of old age. So I guess that was more of a suggestion, is maybe look at it before you do get into the every other year deal.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. I think if that herd gets to where we'd like it to be, and if they can get over this disease, my thought is that we've been able to have animals taken from that herd yearly, both a regular draw permit and the possibility of having the raffle there. Right now, it's kind of low in rams, but I'll bring that suggestion up to the regional managers and see if they would want to go with a regular alternate year for the raffle. So what we are proposing for this year would be that Rocky Mountain raffle would be available to hunters for the Hall Mountain herd and also the Wenaha. The Hall Mountain herd is also fairly small, but there are actually more rams in there than they know what to do with, so somebody might want to go up there. The other change that we're proposing on the auction, and we have a moose auction statewide moose. And right now, it is open to hunters. The successful auction holder can hunt in any unit that is open to moose hunting. We are actually proposing to expand that and to give us the flexibility to allow the single holder of the moose auction permit to hunt in additional areas where we know we have moose, but not so many that we feel like we know what we're doing to actually provide an ongoing draw hunt. We know that there's bulls out there. We know there's a fledgling population beginning. We haven't been able to get the resources to do formal surveys there yet, but yet we know that there are some bulls. So this is the kind of areas we're talking about here. We know that there are a number of moose coming into Okanagan County. We hope to be able to get some surveys motivated there in the next year or two, but we haven't been able to do that yet. Still, we hear that there's great interest, that we know that there would be interest among some of the hunters in perhaps being the first to take a bull moose in that county. So we would like to be able to encourage that interest in the moose auction there. And those are the only changes we're suggesting on the raffle and auction whack.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Keeney.
One quick question on the three-deer raffle, which I think is a great idea. Then those funds that are generated or raised come back specifically for deer management, or if it's a moose raffle, it would come back for moose management? I mean, it seems like a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, that's correct. It's actually, I believe, in the auction raffle whack that any raffle or auction that has the species name on it, those funds are dedicated to that particular species. They're not necessarily dedicated to a particular geographic area, but we do keep those budgets, we keep those boundaries on the budgets quite rigorously.
And are those in-state raffles or auctions or open to nationwide applicants?
They're open nationwide. As with most of our special permits, at least the ones I'm familiar with my species, the vast majority are in-state residents. But they are open and occasionally are taken by out-of-state hunters as well. Yes.
Just to add on to that a little bit, some of our auction permits are put to bid out at conventions that are outside of the state. We are a little bit limited, though, in our capacity is to sell these kinds of the raffle parts of things to, because we can't do online raffle sales, and like other states in Oregon and others can do that. We just have a state law that prevents online gambling, and apparently this fits into the definition of online gambling. So it'd be nice to change that, because it would actually help our ability to sell those permits or those chances in the raffles. But
good point. Any other questions on it? Well, thank you.
Thank you. For the record, Mick Cope, the Game Division Manager, here to talk to you about our landowner hunting permit program. There is an existing commission policy, 6002, that was put in place in the early 2000s that guided our agency on how we would work on private lands access programs. And part of that policy includes the landowner hunting permit program. That policy puts in place some guidelines that the agency works within. It talks to specifically about permit allocation and how those permits are to be kind of shared between the landowner that signs up into the LHP program and the public, where we draw permits kind of using our normal drawing process. Those split out at 50% of the antler list are public, publicly drawn. 50% of them are provided through the landowner. And for the bull and buck permits, 25% of those are put out through our public drawing program, or on the normal kind of through our normal process. In included with those, the guidance that we have in that policy is that hunting opportunities on these lands would be equal, whether you drew a permit through the state system or whether you got the permit through the landowner. In other words, if a landowner had 1,000 acres and they let the people that they permitted through their own means hunt all 1,000 acres, then all 1,000 acres should be available to the public hunter as well. There's also a piece of guidance in there that talks about if a landowner is charging an access fee, which they can do legally, they can't charge for the permit. Can't sell the permit. That's a public resource, but they could charge an access fee to go onto their property. But if they did that, then they would also waive damage claims for that season. There's guidance that those programs should provide for significant public benefit. In that there is opportunity on private lands that the landowner may. Want to have a special season timing or something like that, but generally we want this opportunity to be a good thing for public hunters in general. There's also part of when we negotiate these agreements with landowners, we try and talk about allowing general hunting opportunity, general season opportunity, not just permit hunting opportunity on their property. And the species of that general hunting opportunity can vary as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be for elk. If they have elk permits, it could also be upland bird hunting on their property and that kind of thing. Just trying to open up more doors and more private property to public hunting. So those landowners that do enter into these agreements with us, there is some customized hunting season associated with that on the timing of those dates. Occasionally, there's second tags that are involved, and all of these agreements are negotiated kind of with our local staff, our district biologists, or our private lands bios more specifically, but in combination with our district bios. And those private lands bios also are in the door and kind of foot in the door, being able to work with private landowner on other issues that may be affecting their property or somehow maybe even improving their property for wildlife values. We had several comments that came in from the public on this program. There were a majority of those comments actually came in with concerns that there was just a select group of people that was being benefited by this program. There are others that support the program, and we do have the permit applications that come in from the state or through the state process. We do get a fair number of folks that are applying for those permits and exercising those hunting rights as well. If you look at our state, we have. I know it's a little bit light in here, but those hopefully are big enough dots to see. Those represent the LHPs that we have in place currently. All in eastern Washington, a variety of hunting opportunities from deer and elk. The most recent one that was added was in southeast Washington, was Bennett Lumber. That was added 1 or 2 years ago. The proposed adjustment that you have in the proposed rule changes is to add or to have the any bull elk permit that's there reduced from two permits down to one, and have several date adjustments because we just have calendar date adjustments on many of our rules. There's also a recommended adjustment for the Columbia Plateau Wildlife Management Area that has a date change associated with it that didn't make it into the original rules that were published for public comment. These programs, the LHP program and these changes, but the whole WAC in general is implementing this Fish and Wildlife Commission policy. We continue to work with landowners and try and gain public access to properties. This is one of the tools in the toolbox for our private lands program, to where we have agreements with over 600 private landowners. This is a fairly small component of the overall private lands program. We have access agreements with over 1 million acres of private property across the state in both sides of the, both eastern and western Washington. So we have staff on the ground working really hard to try and provide public hunting opportunities on these private properties. But we would like to, have this rule proposal adopted as implementing that Fish and Wildlife Commission policy on LHPs. And I believe that's it.
Thank you, Nick. Questions for Nick? Yes.
Nick, were the comments in opposition that they favored a single group of hunters, are these permit fees prohibitive for most of the population, and are they paying a real premium to get access to these lands?
I think the fee varies, and yeah. some of these permits are antlered animals, some of them are antlerless. I think mm-hmm. the fees vary by even that factor alone.
Right.
Different landowners charge different amounts, and I haven't investigated personally what they've all charged, so I'm not able to probably speak to what it might be.
Sure. What was the primary objection?
I think the primary objection is it's kind of been historic. It's been, I've heard this over the years of being involved with the program, being that it's kind of privatizing wildlife and having kind of a small group of people that can have access to those animals. So.
Thank you, Mick. And there is one public comment. Rachel Voss, please.
Hello, thanks for having me. My name is Rachel Voss, and I am with the Mule Deer Foundation. I'm the Washington State Chairman. First off, I wanted to thank you guys very much for signing off on Woody's Mule Deer Initiative. It means so much to us. It was really cool to see it pass through after all of his years of hard work. So I'm going to make this pretty brief. I'm here to follow up and talk about the three deer tag. As Jay kind of stated, it is a win-win for everybody. 90% of the auction winnings comes back to Washington State. So that's going to come back, and it's going to go for every species of deer. As you guys know, we lost over 1 million acres to fires this year. So we've got just years ahead of us of rehabilitation and restoring all of our deer habitat. We project that this tag, this particular auction item here, will probably go between $75,000 and $90,000. So doing the math, that's a lot of money coming back down on the ground for however the state wants to spend it, whether it's enforcement for our deer, it's rehabilitation from the fires, anything along that line. So he pretty much covered it, but I just really want to, I'm hoping that can get pushed through. It's a win-win for the deer and for the state on all levels. So thank you. It was short and sweet. He covered it. So, and thank you, Jay, for coming to our summit. I appreciate that. So,
thank you, Ms. Voss. I thought Jay said he'd go 100 at least. Well, good luck on that auction, and we'll look forward to seeing what. Yeah, let us know what the run it through Jay what the final figure is. Well, thank you, and thank you for your good work on behalf of Mule Deer. And that brings us to an end to the morning, a little bit early.